Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Flavor Living Radio. This is Bryant. As you hear in the background, the colonial drums. You know, I'm in Virginia, not too far from here, is Williamsburg. And we are celebrating the 4th of July next Friday, July the 4th. And our show is about the 4th and the history that comes with the 4th of July. We're going to talk about food, history. Sit back, relax, and enjoy Flavor Living Radio. We were hoping you were liking the drums and the flute here on Flavor Living Radio. You know, again, I live not too far from Williamsburg, Virginia, where it all started. You know, where America, the British, and we got our independence back, our Independence Day. And, you know, we're going to see how they – there's a gentleman where he went out there and he kind of looked at how they cooked back then. Back in the colonial times, and we got a little piece here of what happened.
Welcome to todayifeellike.com. This is Larry. We are in colonial Williamsburg, and we are about to go check out a colonial kitchen. That's right. It's not like a normal kitchen where you just have a little room in the house. The colonial kitchen was a whole entire structure on its own. So let's go check it out. Okay, here's a colonial kitchen. You can see all the stuff that they would cook here, some pumpkins and potatoes. They have their jars. There's some smoked meat hanging up there. And the fire pit right there where you would do your cooking. Have your burning wood and your skillets there. And then you have a masher for corn, so you can mash up your corn and make meal. And then you can even go to sleep in the kitchen here. All right, here is a colonial kitchen from the outside. As you can see, there's the fireplace there. It extends out quite a bit because that's actually where there's going to be not just a fireplace, but what they're actually going to use for cooking there. And back in the day, the kitchen was actually a whole house, apparently, a whole structure. All right, well, that's a colonial kitchen here in Williamsburg, Virginia. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And until next time, this is Larry with todayifeellike.com, and I shall see you then. Until next time.
There it is, a kitchen from the colonial times. You know, it's really cool in Williamsburg because they have bush gardens, and they have the colonial times. You go back, you get to see as far as how they farmed, as far as the horses, as far as I remember one time I was at the library in Williamsburg, and you know, most of the time in the summertime, people are dressed up in colonial, the outfits and everything. And I was on the computer at the time, and I looked over on the computer, and there was a gentleman dressed up in the colonial times on the internet. I was like, wow. I wish I would have took a picture. I wish I would have took a picture. But listen, we are moving on with our show, with the 4th of July show. We're going to go to New York. Because there's a contest there in New York that, you know, there's a big contest that goes on every year. It's bigger, big contest. But this one's a cool contest, and it happened during the 4th of July in New York, New York.
In New York City, someone says, meet me in Brooklyn, and I'll put you through an experience that makes you flushed, a little excited, followed by a long period of torpor, nausea, a lot of nausea. You assume it's one thing, and it usually costs around $250 per gram. And that's not what we're doing here. But it's just as deadly. It involves the threat of stomach rupture. Behind us, nothing. And in front of us, hipsters. Hipsters with strollers, hipsters with tank tops. People with ironic t-shirts and hot dogs, because that's what we're doing today. We are going to be eating as many hot dogs as humanly possible. By we, I mean professional eaters, and then me. How did you start doing this? At what point did somebody say, you should eat for sport?
I like to eat. The idea of eating 30 or 40 hot dogs seems reasonable enough, so if someone's going to pay me for it, I should go ahead and do it.
How many hot dogs are you going to eat?
I'm going to try for close to 30.
Hopefully, I can eat 30, at least.
I think Kobe will at least hit 40.
40?
At least 40, yeah.
Okay. Now, for a rank amateur such as myself, what's my bare minimum?
12.
12? Oh. Everyone else said 10.
12.
You're 10.
You got to reach up there. Come on, 10.
I assume because you're from Philadelphia, you just want to see someone die.
I will give you the standard answer that we always give in Philly. I will not answer that question on the ground. It may incriminate.
Bravo. Bravo. Thank you so much. I'm hungry. I'm just going to lay a foundation here. Just a bacon-wrapped hot dog with avocado and sour cream. I mean, you don't want to go into this without any ammo.
Yeah, hot dog.
Well, I was hungry. You don't want to go into this hungry. You know when you eat, you get like one hot dog and you're like, oh god, I'm so full. I don't want that. Amy, why are you here? That's a better question.
Beep beep.
It's hot out and I'm drinking.
July 4th, y'all.
July 4th, y'all.
Tell me, what do you do to prepare for this?
Well, I've been eating, you know, twice a day, three times a day for all my life.
That's pretty good. That's an amazing regimen.
Comparing, you know.
Most people have trouble getting to the gym three times a week. What do you define as failure? Are you thinking like, is 5, is 10?
It's funny because there's like 5 cash prizes.
Yeah.
And that's still out of our realm.
We're not even going to place. My definition of failure is 5. If I don't get more than 5, then I fail. So we just got these, which are, they're for dunking. That's not what I thought this was for, originally. Nor should you, because remember, though it may have started off as a humble hot dog dunking bucket, it could become a bedpan at any time.
Spencer Hall, now with SB Nation.
Hi.
What do you think Bob Stoops would have to say about this?
I think Bob Stoops would lose late. That's probably what he'd do.
Yeah!
Patrick the Camel, Toby Andre.
Welcome back. This is Brian here on Flavor Living Radio. We hope you're enjoying our show. This is our 4th of July flavor show with different foods and everything. As you know, today our soccer team has made it into the next round. I mean, people doubted America. You know, many people doubted America, different people, countries, but we made it. We proved them wrong. There's a song I hear on ESPN, Believe. People chanting, believe, we made it. America made it. You know, so that alone for 4th of July is a celebration right there, you know. And listen, there's a person. Her name is Francine Segan. And she is an expert at pasta and dessert. And, you know, she has two books out. One is called Dolce Italian Sweet. She's Italian-American from New York, and she has Pasta Modern. And if you want to know about Italian desserts and pasta, you have to get these two books, all right? And this pasta that she made, because I know there's going to be, you know, people making pasta for the holidays, for 4th of July. They're going to be making some different pastas. And I ran across the pasta. This pasta was made for the fall, but I believe it could be made for the summer. And Francine made this pasta, and I want you guys to hear about the pasta, you know, if you guys get your pen and paper out. And make sure you get her books, Pasta Modern and Dolce Italian Sweets. She'd be proud of me that I said that right, Dolce. So here is her pasta.
Big cookies, and oh, we could go on and on. But we got to cook.
So let's go get our aprons on and get cooking.
Absolutely.
So this pasta is called pasta al risparmio.
Exactly, cheapskate pasta. They also call it pasta from the garbage can, lots of really less of appetizing names than it deserves. But I learned it in Gragnano, near Naples, at the Garofalo Pasta Factory. Uh-huh. And we're going to make it with an interesting pasta shape.
Scaffoni.
And you know what that means.
Tell us.
A slap. Because when you put these big tubes down onto a plate, it sounds like a slap. So I love the shape. Now, this sauce is made so fast, the pasta will be cooked just at the time the sauce is ready.
One of those rare occasions where you put the pasta in before the
before we even start the sauce. Now, to make this fabulous sauce, what happened in Naples, they would have wanted to make this for Christmas Eve, but they didn't have enough money for fish, the traditional dish for Christmas Eve. So what would they do? They would look in the pantry, and they would take whatever they had. So, of course, in Naples and Italy, they always had good olive oil. Mm-hmm. So we always start with a little bit of olive oil, and then garlic. Have to have some garlic. And just cook that until the garlic starts to give some aroma. Mm-hmm. And tomatoes, because these are things that they would have had on their shelves or that are very inexpensive. Mm-hmm. So then they would have added some nice diced tomatoes or even fresh tomatoes, because in December they're still available in Naples. And then you let that just cook for a minute or two. Now here comes the part where you have to imagine yourself opening the pantry. You're very poor, but it's Christmas Eve. You want to make something special. What's special in your pantry? So one thing in Naples, they have capers. Uh-huh. And we're going to use salt-cured capers. I took these salted capers, rinsed them off, and so I get these nice, plump, soft capers. So we add that into the sauce. So then they look in the cabinet, and what else is there that is traditional Neapolitan? They would have oil-cured olives, some black olives. Add that. So now we have, almost sounds like a little puttanesca, the garlic, the olives, capers, the tomatoes. But now comes, it's a special occasion. What can I do to make this Christmas Eve-y? Dried fruit, frutta secca, all kinds of dried fruit. Here I'm using raisins. You can use diced up apricots, dates, figs, any dried fruit that you like.
And this is something that they would have on hand because they would have dried it from the summer.
Exactly.
The summer or fall harvest.
They don't throw anything away, and so it would have been on hand and something that could just stay in the pantry. The other thing that they would always have, nuts. These are things that grow. They could have gathered, even poor farmers. Mm-hmm. And so we put nuts, any kind of nuts that you like. You can do just hazelnuts, walnuts, even pine nuts.
And this is like we said before with the other walnut dish. This is like the nuts kind of add that meatiness and the protein and the heartiness kind of in substitute for meat.
Exactly. And it gives it that crunch and what's amazing. And now just a little final oregano. Mm-hmm. And what happens is, when you taste this, what you're going to notice that it's sweet and salty. Cool. So you have almost like a caponata, an instant caponata, except for the eggplant. In fact, if you had some eggplant, you could add that too. If you were rich enough to have some eggplant, you can put that in. But this is now just keeps cooking for a couple of minutes until the pasta is ready. And then you toss them together. Cheese is not allowed on Christmas Eve, mm-hmm. traditionally. And so you wouldn't even need cheese. So this is totally a vegan dish.
Love it.
So this sauce is ready.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that nice?
Oh, wow.
The nice capers, thing. The olives give the saltiness, yeah. and then that sweetness from the dried fruit.
Yeah.
The easiest meal. So it's got a great backstory,
yeah.
and then it's got a little something special.
This Francine Segan, she knows pasta and Italian desserts. So if you're making a pasta for, the 4th of July, next Friday, this is kind of a tip of heads up tips. You know, look up her book, buy her book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble's so you can make some pasta, different type of pastas, you know. Listen, we'll be right back after this message with more on flavor.
When I started, we had about 180 employees. Over the past 3 years, we've grown to 430 employees and still growing.
I've always felt comfortable. I can be myself. We have a really relaxed atmosphere. I mean, this is about as dressy as it gets. You know, we're big, but we're also fun.
You know, we have a lot of fun stuff for our employees here at Bluehost to use on their breaks. So we've got foosball and got a pool table.
We've got PlayStations and Xboxes. We've got arcade machines.
We provide free food for our employees. It's probably one of the most popular benefits we have here.
We have a world-class ping pong training center with a robo-pong that can shoot different multiple balls out.
Employees get free massages by just signing up on the sign-up sheet.
We've got a giant warehouse area that we turned into a basketball court.
There's also a weight room that I enjoy thoroughly. You know, if I need to get a quick 30-minute workout in during my lunch break or whatever to cool down, then I do.
I think that by offering perks like this, it actually creates an environment where our employees, they get a good break, they get to go have fun with their friends, and then they can get back on the phones and take care of customers' needs and be able to take better care of them.
It does not feel like a typical faceless large company, despite how big we are now, how quickly we've grown. Feels like you're coming to a place to get a common task or common goal accomplished. You're not working with coworkers, you're working with friends.
I have great coworkers, a great boss, and I love coming to work every morning.
Welcome back. This is Bryant, your host. Yes, that was Bluehost. If you go to our website, flavorliving.com, we have a food blog there. If you go to our website, you will see Bluehost on the right. And we're also, we are offering also online cooking classes. Yes, very new. Online cooking classes in July. And also, we are partnered with the Menu Wand. This is a new item where you'll be able to order from different restaurants right from your cell phone. But go to our website, see what you'd like, because we have different items, food items, stories, from bed and breakfast to dinner, recipes, and just everything. Now, you know, I know a lot of people are doing some barbecuing, because I'm a barbecue person. It's passed down in our generation. We do some barbecue, you know. And have you ever thought about making your own homemade condiments as far as ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise? Well, this segment here, they're going to teach you how to make your own mustard. Yeah, your own mustard, your own ketchup. So listen in and see what you guys think. You guys, you need some notes too for this one too.
It's summertime. That means it's time for grilling. It's time for barbecues. It's time for crappy hamburgers, crappy hot dogs, crappy buns, crappy condiments, and crappy deli-bought potato salad. So what are we going to do about it? Well, we teamed up with Brendan, and for the next few weeks, Brendan and I are going to be showing you a bunch of fantastic ways to do a DIY barbecue. DIY 4th of July, DIY Father's Day, DIY Labor Day, and every barbecue in between. Here's how to make it all yourself from scratch.
working class foodies.
We're going to show you how to make your own hamburger buns and your own condiments. Brendan's going to walk us through how to make all of these.
Take your packet of yeast, get that activated in some warm water. A little olive oil if you want. Then in another bowl, your 2 cups bread flour, your honey, egg. The egg is totally optional. Salt. Mix that all together until it really starts coming together nicely. Once the ball of dough kind of starts getting tight and it's holding the flour, then you can take it out of the bowl, put it onto a table, and knead it with the palm of your hand, just very gently, until it really comes together. It has that nice, sturdy surface. Put that into a clean bowl with olive oil, and then cover it with some plastic, and let it rest for probably about an hour. 400 degree oven. And then after it's rested for a while, what you'll do is you want to take the dough out and then just cut it into 6 pieces. 6 even pieces. You can form them into little balls. Coat them with a little bit of olive oil. Pat them down so they flatten out a little bit. And then get them into the oven, pizza stone. And you just want to put the polenta down on that. You can use the back of a cookie sheet, and you just want to put the polenta down on that. And that should do it. And then probably about 15, 20 minutes should be ready. And pull them out and put them onto a rack and let them cool. And they should feel hard. When it comes to making mustard, you can do a mix of just powder, or you can grind your own from the whole seeds, or leave them as whole seeds, however you want to do it. 1 tablespoon of powder to 1 tablespoon of beer or wine or water. It's really intense stuff. Cut it with a little bit of olive oil. It takes some of the burn off the back. And once that sits, you'll have a couple days with it, then the flavor will get better and better. And then after about 4 days, 5 days, you'll notice that it starts like getting pretty mellow. And that's pretty much all you really need to do for mustard. Mayonnaise, 1 egg yolk should hold 1 cup of oil. And that's really pretty much all you really need to know. Everything else is pretty much whatever you want to do. I'll do 2 egg yolks, like 2 cups of oil. So you get a blender going, put your eggs in, pinch of salt. About a teaspoon of the mustard. A little lemon juice. Mix up the mustard and the salt and the lemon juice. Then you want to add your oil incredibly slowly. Like just get a nice thin stream in and let it emulsify. If you try and put too much oil in all at once, it will just break and you'll lose the whole thing. 1/4 cup of water if I want to extend it. You know, you just want to let it sit out and let it kind of tighten itself up. If you want to cover yourself, you can do 3 yolks and just put in 2 cups of oil. And that will really stop it from breaking. Like it will hold a little bit more. Ketchup, you can make it's kind of one of those recipes that you can play with. You can have a lot of fun. Just kind of rough chop it a little bit. We sweated some shallots and some garlic. I always put in a little salt when I'm sweating the shallots, just to kind of help break them down, get the flavor in there. Then we deglazed with a little bit of white wine vinegar. And then we put in some brown sugar, some chopped tomatoes. Just let that cook for a while until pretty much the acidity from the tomato is gone and until a lot of that moisture is gone, where it really comes like a nice thick compote. And then after it cools down a little bit, you want to blend it. If you have a hand blender, that's great. Otherwise, you could put 1 cup at a time in a blender or a food processor and just buzz it all up. But wait till it cools down before you do that so you don't burn yourself. And then you have your ketchup. Putting them on the fresh baked bread is awesome.
Everything we made was delicious. I'm originally from Pittsburgh, so I'm a big Heinz girl. But you know what? Honestly, our homemade ketchup was so good that I could even do without the Heinz ketchup on the table at my barbecues this summer. Now, it's a fair question to wonder why you would spend the time making your own condiments when you can just go to the store and pick some up for super cheap. Well, first of all, making your own condiments means that you control what goes into them. We used all natural ingredients. There's no corn syrup, no corn starch, no artificial preservatives, no fake color. And on top of that, once you've made your first batch, you can really play with these. Why not try a curry ketchup, an Old Bay ketchup, maybe a hot sauce ketchup? You can really control the flavor. You can make it taste saltier or sweeter, more oniony, more garlicky, more tomatoey. Totally up to you. Our homemade mustard came out so well that I even made a second jar of it and sent it off to my dad, along with a couple other homemade treats, to spice up my dad's Father's Day and all of his barbecuing for the rest of the summer.
Hot honey mustard. And peanut butter.
Oh my god.
Isn't that wonderful?
Peach preserves?
You get much.
Oh dear.
Beer in the shape of bread. Father's Day. From Mike Cutters and Happy would make a perfect hamburger bun.
Love you, Dad. So the total cost for our buns and condiments came to just about $10. Now we've got mayonnaise, mustard, and ketchup to last us through at least two barbecues. Plus, if you're into baking, the buns are fantastic practice because the more baking you do, the better at it you get. So check back in next week. We're going to be showing you how to make veggie burgers and potato salad that are way better than any veggie burgers and potato salad you've ever had before, unless you've been to Brendan's house, in which case, just find out how he makes them. So now it's your turn. Write in and let us know what you're going to be doing for Father's Day or for your 4th of July this year. And if you have any awesome bun recipes, especially one for potato buns, let us know. Same thing, if you have a recipe for whole grain mustard, love to have it because whole grain mustard is awesome. And we'll see you next week on Working Class Foodies.
We're back. Yes, you can make your own ketchup and mustard. I hope everybody was taking notes. I took some notes myself because, you know, next Friday, Brian's going to have his own mustard and ketchup, you know, for barbecue for you guys too. You know, but listen, that's our show. Thank you for tuning in to Flavor Living Radio. Tune in next weekend and listen to our show and our other shows from the UK too. But our show today is about America. So happy 4th of July. It's in advance to everybody. Enjoy the fireworks, the barbecue, as far as the red, white, and blue. And you have the freedom to vote. You have the freedom to vote for blue, red, red, blue. We have the freedom to do that. We have the freedom to ride this car, wear this tennis shoe, and just all the foods we have. You know, so I just want to wish everybody a happy 4th of July and drive safe and eat well. Now, I have this one song I have to play for the 4th here, and I hope you guys are going to like it. But again, thanks a lot for tuning in.
Happy 4th. Check out the first one. about food and life and more. Cooking, restaurants, and recipes with adventures.